Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. A quick preview of today's docket, a trial day for Lori Vallow, an arrest in the Orsolya Gall murder case, a Colorado man guilty of first-degree murder, fortunately was able to use his insurance money to pay for his lawyers. Now, for anyone who's triggered, if we talk about Johnny Depp and Amanda Heard, now is the time to just turn off the video, okay? And then we're going to talk about ASAP Rocky arrested and posted $550,000 bond. A couple of contestants for the Parents of the Year. A very interesting United States Supreme Court case that the Supreme Court's going to be deciding upon. A YouTube stunt gone bad cost a pilot his license. He's lucky he's not charged yet. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, aficionados. You know the drill. Subscribe if you have not. Like the video if you do. Leave me a comment either way. And as always, remember, hit that little bell so that you can receive notifications when we go live or put up new content. And remember, you can listen to us anytime by downloading your favorite podcasting app. Just simply type in Crime Talk with Scott Reich. Now, a quick reminder, we'll be in CrimeCon literally a week from now. We'll have a little booth out there. Never been there. We'll see how it's going to go. But if you will be attending, leave a comment. If you can't attend, apparently we will also be going live from the CrimeCon booth all weekend. So make sure your notifications are turned on. All right. Before we get to today's docket, please support the sponsors that help support the channel. Please. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. All right. Today is Thursday, April 21st, 2022. Well, let's go ahead and open the docket. First, there has been a notice of trial setting and a final pretrial preparation conference regarding the proceedings issued by Judge Stephen Boyce as it relates to the trial scheduled for Lori Vallow. Now, her trial is scheduled to begin in Ada County on October 11th with a completion date on or about December 16th. Now, a pretrial conference is set for September 6th, and at Lori's arraignment, she did not waive her right to a speedy trial, meaning the trial must legally occur within 6 months. Lori and her husband, Chad Daybell, well, their cases are technically currently joined, and that trial was set to begin in January of 2023. Now, if Lori Vallow's trial goes before and proceeds the trial, the cases will need to be severed, which is what I'm assuming the defense wanted either way. Prosecution, I think, got a little outmaneuvered on this little move that they tried to make to somehow decide that they're joined, even though she had never been even to an arraignment just yet. We'll see how all that shakes out. Frankly, what have they got to lose? Go forward and see if the prosecution can prove their case. Now, Judge Boyce had already denied the motion to sever made by Chad Daybell's attorney, John Pryor. So now the court has to figure out how is he going to do this if speedy trial is not continued because of a co-conspirator coming in late, or is he going to have to move Chad Daybell's trial date to the same date as Lori Vallow. Gonna get interesting. Now, obviously, everyone knows the prosecutor is seeking the death penalty in Chad's case as well. And if they plan to do the same in Lori, they have 60 days from today's date to file the notice with the court. Now, Jim Archibald and John Thomas, who is the new lawyer appointed by the court for Lori Vallow, are both death penalty certified in Idaho, which obviously one of the previous attorneys was not. We will continue to bring you this news. This is going to be another chess match at this point and see who can outmaneuver the other. We'll see. The judge seems to be pretty adamant that the 6 months is not waivable at this point unless Lori Vallow agrees to it. So we'll see what happens. Next, some breaking news early this morning. Orsalia Gall, right? The lady that was found in a hockey duffel bag about a half mile from her house. Well, a guy by the name of David Bonala has been arrested for the murder of the Queen's mother. He was spotted by police on Wednesday night and brought in for questioning, then apparently confessed to murdering Ms. Gall in her home on April 16th before roughly 1 a.m. Now, Bonala is believed to be the handyman lover police were searching for this past week, and police revealed that the two had been having an on and off again affair over the last 2 years. And apparently after midnight, the night that she was murdered, Gall, whose husband was out of town with her oldest son, let Bonala into her home. They went into the basement where an argument ensued, and that's where he stabbed her, allegedly 58 times in a frenzy. He then retrieved Gall's son's hockey bag and waited till about 4 a.m., then wheeled her body out of the home and dumped it less than a half a mile away. Now, Bonala then walked to his own home through Forest Park, and the next day he went to the hospital for treatment to wounds that he had in his hands. That's what happens when you stab people viciously and the knife sometimes hits bone and things of that nature. Your hand can slide down and you wind up cutting yourself. Well, in a press conference, the police revealed that the murder weapon, a kitchen knife similar to the knives in Gall's home, had been used. Gall and Bonala interacted with each other on social media a handful of times. And in 2020, he liked a photograph of her as a child writing "Ola" with a love heart underneath the image. She liked his comment. Bonala is from Richmond Hill, a neighborhood in Queens very close to Gall's. Detectives say that the two argued in the house before Bonilla allegedly killed her. The story is still developing, and we'll bring you the information as it comes about. Now, I'm going to have to admit, that video, or the photograph taken from the video from the Ring doorbell, doesn't that look like a kid pulling that bag? It does to me. Apparently, the police got their guy. Next on the docket, another Colorado man. That's right. What could he have possibly done? Well, after just 3 hours of deliberation, a jury found a guy by the name of Robert Feldman guilty of first-degree murder in the 2015 death of his wife and the mother of his two children, Stacy Feldman. Now, a judge then instantly gave Mr. Feldman, who used his wife's $750,000 life insurance policy monies to pay for his defense, the mandatory sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, the jury concluded that Robert strangled his wife to death in the shower, then staged her death to make it look like a slip and fall. Prosecutors say that he killed his wife after she confronted him about having an affair. Stacy Feldman was the mother of two. Stacy's mother said, "If you really loved your children, you wouldn't have killed their mother. You wouldn't have taken their mother from them. The only person you love is yourself." Now, Mr. Feldman wasn't charged until 2018 because Denver police detectives reportedly took 3 years to find the medical expert that was willing to testify that Feldman's wife died by strangulation and did not die from a slip and fall. The jury obviously believed him. The trial had been delayed for the last couple of years because of COVID, and Stacy's family always suspected Mr. Feldman in the killing, but they had to pay for a private investigator to look into her death and gather enough evidence to bring charges. They did the work for the police there. But the last two cases, what have I said? Everybody has a secret life. Sometimes it comes out. Okay, for all those that you were triggered regarding my Johnny Depp comments yesterday, well, why not double down? Okay, here we go. Now, first of all, nobody said that anybody should be a victim of domestic violence. I had so many people saying, Scott, you're condoning domestic violence. No, that's not what I said. I said that this case, according to their own therapist, can dish it out just as good as receiving it, so to speak. Okay? They both could dish it out. And neither one comes to court with clean hands. Now, for everyone who said Johnny Depp on the stand is the most kindest, sweetest, kindest man ever, he presents that way. Okay? And I assure you, I have represented lots of people over the year who were the greatest people ever. Okay? And they were the nicest people ever until they became intoxicated by drugs or alcohol or a combination of both. And then they were embarrassed by what they had done. And most of the time, they couldn't remember it. Now, before we all jump to Johnny Depp's defense, and who knows, he may win. But remember, he lost in England when he sued the tabloid over there for the story that was based upon information from Miss Heard. They wrote a story saying that he was a wife beater. They had a lengthy trial. And the defense was the truth. Who did the newspaper call in defense of their story? Miss Heard. The judge found, basically by a preponderance of evidence standard, which is the standard in most civil cases, and I believe in England they called it substantially occurred. Well, the judge found that there was overwhelming evidence of domestic abuse by Mr. Depp. You can even read the transcripts. The transcripts of every day of that trial are available. Okay? So let's just cut to the chase. Nobody needs or deserves to be the victim of domestic violence. In no way did I say that Johnny Depp deserved to be the victim of domestic violence. Let's face it, men can be the victim of domestic violence. I've represented men who've been the victim of domestic violence, okay? I don't think it's a one-way street. Everybody should keep their hands to themselves, bottom line. And domestic violence can also include mental anguish that can take place and the manipulation of that, okay? So hopefully that's clear, all right? So for all the people that said they were unsubscribing, that's okay. It's a free world. Nobody wants you to listen to something you don't want to hear and you don't like. But guess what? You can save me the I'm unsubscribing, okay? That's okay. Nobody is here to say everyone needs to agree with Scott. But let's look at the facts. This is really round two of the same allegations. I don't think that Mr. Depp was a great witness. Maybe other people think he was the greatest thing on the stand ever. But you notice on cross-examination, he was a little quicker with his responses and didn't even act surprised like he did yesterday from questions from his own attorneys. So color me skeptical. And remember, the defense in this case, the people who have countersued Mr. Depp, haven't even presented their case where Ms. Heard will testify in the presentation of their case, their counterclaim for $100 million, which is the countersuit of Johnny Depp's $50 million lawsuit. And let's face it, everybody's known this couple, okay? Everybody's known the couple. They can't get along. They've had issues. They've been divorced, and neither one of them will let it go. Mr. Depp is saying all of his career woes were caused by Ms. Heard. Well, it also looks like he had a couple of other issues that could have contributed to that. She also seems like not a very nice person. Manipulative, you name it. Whatever adjective you would like to describe her with. And I don't know. It's that couple that'll just never let it go. The testimony continues on Mr. Depp's third day on the witness stand. And frankly, the attorney for Ms. Heard is not doing a great job cross-examining Mr. Depp in any way whatsoever. I get it. You have to read between the lines between a lot of these text messages. But the reality of it is the attorney wasn't doing a great job of it. Now, Heard's attorney did start off by showing some text messages from Mr. Depp saying that he would do unspeakable things to Heard's body just to prove she was dead. The text messages between Depp and actor Paul Bettany were presented during cross-examination. and talking about burning Heard's body, then what he would do after she died. Now, Depp said he would drown Heard before he burned her, and then he would have sex with her burnt corpse to make sure she is dead. Bettany makes reference to Monty Python, which is apparently Depp's favorite movie, and says, "Let's be certain before we pronounce her a witch." As the text continued, Mr. Depp talks about being mentally messed up, talking about drinking bottles of alcohol and taking pills. Bettany is also expected to testify in the trial, and yesterday Depp's testimony also mentioned alleged fecal matter that he found in their bed, saying he found it so outside, so bizarre, and so grotesque that he could only laugh. Now, Ms. Heard apparently blamed the fecal matter on the dogs, but Mr. Depp said that would be impossible considering the dogs were teacup Yorkies and weighed only 4 pounds. The mudslinging will continue for weeks to come. And like I said, Depp did sue the British newspaper The Sun back in 2018 because of the wife beater allegation. Depp sued. Depp lost. Depp even tried to overturn the ruling, but was unsuccessful, citing the UK decision. Ms. Heard initially sought a dismissal of the Virginia case, but the judge granted Depp the right to pursue his defamation lawsuit in the United States. Now, Ms. Heard also received several favorable rulings from the court as it related to anti-slap laws and defenses that she can, in fact, use. We shall see. And like I said yesterday, Ms. Heard, who is apparently an advocate or a, as she described, an ambassador for abused women, also looks like she does not have clean hands. Okay, let's jump to something a little less controversial. How about this guy, ASAP Rocky, aka his real name, Rakim Mears. Well, he's known as, he's a rapper, and he was arrested Wednesday at a Los Angeles International Airport in connection with a shooting back in November of last year. Now, according to the Los Angeles Police Department, ASAP Rocky, he's also a Grammy-nominated American rapper whose album Long Live ASAP debuted number one back in 2000. His next album featured the ultra-famous Drake, 2 Chainz, and Kendrick Lamar. ASAP was arriving in L.A. on a private plane with his soon-to-be baby mama, Rihanna, in L.A. when he was arrested. A search warrant was executed at ASAP's residence in L.A., and according to ASAP's attorney, they confirmed that his client had been arrested. He was booked into jail on a $550,000 bond. He was then released 3 hours later after posting that bond. Now, he is the suspect in a November 6, 2021 shooting near Vista Del Mar and Selma Avenue around 10:20 p.m., according to LAPD. Now, Mr. ASAP has been arrested numerous times and even spent 2 weeks in Rikers Island in 2006 for drug dealing. We wish him the luck. Obviously, we'll give him the presumption of innocence. And everybody loves Rihanna, so he's got to be innocent, correct? That's the way some people think. How about a couple parents of the year? 2 Georgia parents were charged with murder in the death of their 4-week-old infant who drank alcohol from a baby bottle. The parents brought their unresponsive child to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, who called the sheriff's office because of the circumstances surrounding the child's condition, because it simply didn't make sense. Detectives interviewed the parents, Sydney Dunn and Marquise Colvin. Initially, Dunn told police that she had consumed a large amount of alcohol the day before, and the baby must have gotten alcohol poisoning from her breast milk. But then Dunn revealed that Colvin had put alcohol in the baby's bottle. That evening, sheriff's deputies searched the family's apartment in Hiram, Georgia, and found evidence in the death investigation as well as a firearm, which Colvin was prohibited from owning because he was, in fact, a convicted felon on parole. The baby died the next day. Doctors said the amount of alcohol found in the baby was more than 4 times an adult's legal limit in a child, a BAC level of 0.320. Ladies and gentlemen, both Dunn and Colvin were arrested and charged with murder, cruelty to child, and reckless conduct. Colvin was also charged with a parole violation and the possession of a firearm of a convicted felon. The parents are being held in the jail without bond, where some would say they deserve to stay. According to medical experts, even a small amount of alcohol can trigger alcohol poisoning in children who may accidentally consume the substance in other liquids such as energy drinks, mouthwashes, hand sanitizers, and perfumes. Children absorb alcohol quickly, and they show symptoms including confusion, vomiting, seizures, and choking rather quickly. They can also fall into a coma. Next on the docket, the Supreme Court needs to decide a very interesting issue. What happens when the officers do not properly advise you of their Miranda rights? Well, the Supreme Court's going to let you know. So what happens when the officers first don't read the suspect their rights? Well, the Supreme Court has wrestled with whether a sheriff deputy can be sued for money damages for violating the rights of a hospital employee who was accused of sexually assaulting a patient. At issue is whether the familiar Miranda warning, which most people know, which the court recognizes in the case of Miranda v. Arizona decision, which goes back to 1996 and reaffirmed some 34 years later, is a constitutional right or has a lesser and less defined status. The case began with a woman who said she was assaulted at an LA hospital and identified hospital worker Terrence Tico as the attacker. The LA County Sheriff's Deputy Carlos Vega talked to Tico, who signed the statement confessing to the assault. Both sides agree Vega did not read Tico his rights before their conversation at the hospital, but they disagree about whether Tico was coerced into confessing. Even with the statement used against him at trial, a jury acquitted Tico of criminal charges. Tico then turned around and sued Vega, who twice prevailed at civil trials over his conduct. But a federal appeals court ruled Tico should have another chance. The deputy appealed to the United States Supreme Court, which agreed to hear the case. Now, there is a federal law known as Section 1983 that allows people to sue police and other government officials who violate an individual's constitutional rights. Now, Justice Elena Kagan said she fears that if the court rules for Vega, the outcome will undermine Dickerson, which is the 2000 decision that was written by then and the late Chief Justice William Rehnquist. He was a critic of the Miranda decision, who nevertheless said it had become embedded in American culture. On the other hand, several justices noted that Justice Rehnquist seemed to choose his words carefully in that opinion. And Chief Justice John Roberts, who was a law clerk for Rehnquist more than 40 years ago, said his former boss didn't say Miranda is in the Constitution. He talked about constitutional underpinnings, constitutional bases. Now, lawyers for Vega and the Biden administration also argue that civil lawsuits should not be allowed against police officers because they are ultimately not the cause of any rights violations. A defendant's rights are violated only when the prosecutors decide to use a statement obtained without a Miranda warning at trial. That's what they were arguing. But Justice Department lawyers said, "We think Miranda is a constitutional right." Now, Paul Hoffman, representing Tico, said his client has no other legal option if he can't sue Vega. He says, "I'm standing here on behalf of Mr. Tico, who was acquitted and has absolutely no other remedy other than Section 1983. His life was destroyed by these actions," according to his attorney. Now, a decision in Vega v. Tico is expected by the United States Supreme Court in late June. Raises very, very interesting issues, ladies and gentlemen, because if you can sue police officers for not advising you of your Miranda rights and you are ultimately acquitted, guess what? The police are going to be in a very, very bad spot. Very similar to the law that Barry Morphew is suing individuals in state court here for basically violating his constitutional rights by not including exculpatory evidence in the affidavits. Something to think about. Next on the docket, a YouTube daredevil and former Olympic snowboarder, a guy by the name of Trevor Jacob, lost his private pilot certificate after the Federal Aviation Administration determined he purposely crashed an aircraft into a California hillside. Now, this Jacob guy, and I've seen this video, posted a 13-minute long video of himself parachuting out of a small plane that alleged that the engine had malfunctioned. Now, the FAA has determined that Jacob violated aviation regulations and operated the single-engine aircraft in a careless or reckless manner so as to endanger the life or property of another. Now, Jacob, who competed in the 2014 Winter Olympics, seemed to be unaware that his pilot's license was revoked. He commented, "Where'd you get this information? on a news website when the news broke, and Jacob's YouTube video titled "I Crashed My Plane" was posted last Christmas Eve and racked up 1.7 million views, creating speculation that he staged the crash to get more views and go viral. Some viewers claim he was wearing a parachute on board the aircraft, which proves the whole crash was a stunt. The FAA also pointed out that Jacob opened the door of the aircraft just moments before he claimed the engine had failed. The FAA also noted how he never tried to find a place to land safely, even though there were multiple areas within gliding range in which you could have, in which he could have made a safe landing. Now, Jacob said in the video that his plan was to travel to Mammoth Lakes to spread ashes of his late friend, adventurer Johnny Strange, who died in a base jumping accident in 2015. In the first few minutes of the footage, the flight appears to be going smoothly, with Jacob smiling into one of the many cameras on board his plane, giving the thumbs up. But about 20 minutes into the flight, the plane's sole engine appears to lose power and stalled, and then the propeller stopped. Jacob struggled to open the door, scrambling out of the plane, and he opens his parachute. The ditched aircraft smashed nose first into the hills of the Los Padres National Forest, and the crash has caught on multiple cameras that Jacob had mounted on his aircraft. What a lucky coincidence, right? Well, the FAA cannot prosecute Jacob over the incident, as the authority only has the ability to revoke or suspend certificates and issue fines. The agency did order Jacob to surrender his certificate and warned he would face further legal enforcement action if he refused to do so, including a daily penalty of $1,644. Now, a few days after the crash, Jacob reported to the airport to tell them about his crash, and he was informed that the incident would need to be reported to the FAA. Every pilot knows that. Anyway, Jacob allegedly chartered a helicopter to remove the wreckage of his aircraft shortly thereafter. Now, when you watch this video, that's just a series of too many coincidences. First of all, nobody wears a parachute in a small airplane unless it is of an aerobatic nature, and certainly that was not going to take place. And the positioning of the cameras, the positioning of the door opening, just a little too coincidental. It was a stunt, and now he's paying for it. He will probably never fly legally again. And finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Please meet Catherine Martirish. She ran out of gas on I-55 in Tennessee near the Arkansas-Tennessee border. Memphis police were dispatched after the car had been hit on the I-55 bridge, and the Department of Transportation quickly towed the vehicle. Now, the officers told Martirish that the vehicle would be inventoried and towed, and she told the officers they couldn't go inside the car. Police said they detected the odor of raw marijuana inside the vehicle. The vehicle was searched, and the police found, coincidentally, 229 pounds of marijuana inside multiple boxes and a duffel bag inside the car, as well as a large amount of cash. Now, Martirish was charged with possession of a controlled substance. Little rule of thumb there, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a broken down car with lots of illegal substances, you may want to get a tow truck driver out there much faster than the state patrol can get one. Anyway, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. Hopefully we didn't trigger too many people today. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.